The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Welcome everybody to the broadcast this morning. Praise God, we're glad that you're here. Oh, if you could have been here in person just a minute ago. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon this place, and it was awesome, amen? Did anybody feel God's power and presence this morning in worship? Oh, praise God. What an awesome God. Amen. Well, we are glad that you're here. And sorry, I was gonna dress up and I was gonna get a button-down shirt, but I don't have any red button-down shirts. Now, I only have one that's salmon. Okay? And guys, you with me? You with me, fellas? I only have a salmon one. Now Vanessa calls it pink or something like that, but it's salmon. I am a coral. There you go. It's coral. And we're about as far from the ocean as one can get, and it's coral. So I have to say salmon because, you know, so I'm wearing my red polo in honor of Valentine's Day, right? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm telling you what. Luke said it right before the start, didn't he? You need to show someone that you love them. It's not enough anymore in today's day and age. It's not enough just to assume that they're going to know, because they may be taken away. And the worst regret that one can have is to live with the thought that I never told them that I loved or appreciated them, and then have them go. Don't live with that regret. Can Pastor help you today? Don't live with that regret. If you got someone and I'm not talking about sweetheart. Definitely tell your sweetheart, all right. But I'm talking about if you got somebody in your life that you appreciate, make sure that you let them know that they're appreciated and that they're loved. And just for the word, before we get going into the message today, let me just tell you, all of you on the broadcast, on the FM here locally, or over in the World Wide Web on the internet, you are loved. You say, well, how can you love me? You don't even know me. I love you because you're made in the image of my Savior. Amen. And I love my Savior. And in as much as I love him, I love you because you remind me of him. Oh, isn't that awesome? So, all right. So today we're going to talk about, you know, in the spirit of the holiday, right? And it really wasn't a holiday. You go back 150 years ago, this really wasn't a holiday. It's kind of been made a lot more than it is. Put a little pressure on the guys because girls, you get it. Ladies, you get it. Guys would, you know, they've birthdays and stuff as we get, especially if we're familiar, they just kind of fall off the cliff, you know. But new carburetors and tools, you know, somebody had to come up with the thing, hey, we better remind the guys because they know they don't. Pastor Burkhart used to tell a story of a man that his wife and him were in marriage counseling after 20 years. Their marriage was on the rocks, and she goes, they were sitting in front of the counselor, and he said, she just never tells me that he loves me anymore. He never tells me that he loves me anymore. And the guy and the counselor looked at him and said, really? He goes, and he told her, he says, I told her 20 years ago when we got married, I loved her. If that changes, she'll be the first to know. Anyway, all right. If you, I don't push a lot of movies, but there's a song and a scene and an act in the play Fiddler on the Roof, which is one of my favorites, by the way. Fiddler on the Roof. You gotta just check it out. It'll bless you. But there's a song in there where the main character is asking his wife, do you love me? Do you love me? They've been married for a long time. She said, I had your children, you know. I washed your clothes. I made your meals. Do you love me? Check it out. It'll bless you. All right. Today, the title of the message, I'm not big on titles and messages, but every now and again, God gives you one guy. And Jesus says, be mine. Now, every child in the that still give out the, you know, that still can give out the Valentine's cards with, or the little smarty, the little heart things, you know. How many of you ever got the one that said, "Be mine"? Yeah, be mine. Why is that important? Because we want somebody to love, right? Don't make me break out into the Queen song there. But we want somebody to love, right? Somebody who loves us. Somebody who loves us for who we are. And today, the Lord would ask you, through this pulpit, through me, the Lord would ask you, be mine. Isn't that amazing? We never think about it like that, but he's asking us to be his. Amen? You know, there's a lot of, there were sure a lot of roses, chocolates, cards, and gifts bought this week. Some may still be bought this afternoon after some of these guys see the broadcast or hear the broadcast. But there was all kinds of displays of affection. Why is it, and I'm going to pose this question kind of rhetorically, but why is it that on a Hallmark holiday that guys are not ashamed to let their love show? I'm talking to the guys now. This is probably something that we, you know, we probably should have waited till men's breakfast because we could do it in private then, and the guys will walk out with their head held high. I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to, you know, right? But think about it. Another movie reference. How many of you ever saw Dances with Wolves? Long movie, right? But at the start of it, remember when the main character, who's played by Kevin Costner, goes out to this outpost out in the West all by himself, and the Sioux, the Lakota Sioux tribe, they hate him, and one of the warriors just makes life miserable for him. Makes life miserable for him. Hates him. Tries to kill him, you know, three or four times, throws spears at him, you know, and finally they become friends. Over the course of the narrative of the show, they become friends. And when they decide that the Lakota Sioux have to move because they're under persecution now, that very same character who hated Kevin Costner's character, he's up on his horse, beautiful horse up in the hill, and he's shouting, "Do you know that I love you? Do you know that you're my brother? Do you know that you're my friend?" What a transformation. Do you know how hard it is for men to show affection? I mean, it's when Andy was playing football, you know, it was not cool to jump up and yell in the stands, "Yeah, that's my boy." You know, he was like, he'd look up at me and he'd look, you know, we didn't want to embarrass him. You know, that's not what it's about, right? You know the funny thing about it, even when I was a kid. Now, okay, I've got a lot of years on me. Okay, I've got a lot of miles. You know, I'm used, broken in, all that sort of stuff. But when we were playing, the biggest arena we ever played at was we played basketball against the Marion Giants, and they had like a 10,000 seat gymnasium, right? They could beat colleges. Still today, they can beat some colleges. Their basketball program was top notch, right? They invited us for a warm-up practice, I guess. I don't know what it was all about, but they put a hurting on us. You know, we're just a little school, Southwood, maybe had 120 people in it, you know, and they had more people on their bench than we had in our whole entire senior class. But it's amazing after all that in the invitational tourney, you know, and I remember this, in the invitational tourney, the place was packed out. TV cameras were there, you know. I was like, wow, I never saw that before at our little Southwood High School. Well, I knew where Mom and Dad were sitting. I knew where my mom and my uncle were sitting. It's amazing how your eyes go, shh, there they are. So I knew where Andy would know. He would come out and he would know about this. And of course, when we had, you know, season tickets, especially even at Manchester or whatever, he knew where we were going to be seated. But instead of embarrassing him, we came up with this thing. You know, guys, you know, we were doing the fist bump before COVID, right? And one of the things that we would do when he would come out, they would do their warm-ups and they would go around and they would go into their squads and they would get, you know, go run through some drills in their squads, and he would come out and whenever he was coming back off of the field, now we wouldn't look at us going out because focus, laser focus. But coming back, I'd see this, you know, through his face mask, you'd see this. And he knew. And when he would make a play, when he would make a tackle, when he would make a stop, when he'd get a fumble, he'd come off the field instead of dad jumping up and embarrassing the snot out of him. That's my boy, you know. We may be from the South, but I'm a long way from Hank Hill. I'm not selling propane and propane accessories. So what we did was we came up with this thing that they did in the gladiators. In my heart. I thought it was pretty cool. You know, he'd come off and I'd do this, and especially when he's pumped and adrenaline flowing, he'd be boom, you know. You could hear it clack on his shoulder pads. I thought, man, this is awesome. And for about two games, we had that. You know, man, that was our secret thing, man. He'd come up and I'd like that, you know. Next thing you know, game three. I think it was an away game. We come off, and another guy, another end tackle or something like that, made a stop and come off. And next thing I know, he's doing this. And his dad's doing that. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. You stole our thing, right? That's our thing, right? You say, where are you going with this, Pastor? There are things that we identify with. There are places and things that we do that we identify with that lets those around us who we love know that we love them. The easiest way is to simply say, hey, I love you. But how many of you know today, in today's society, love has been so watered down? If Brother Bob was here, he would amen this, and he may be online watching, but love has been so watered down. People say, I love you, and they don't. It's an amazing thing. Make sure, the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And then what that means is that if you really love someone, tell them that you really love them. And don't use love as a byline. I see it all the time. Brother Bob would tell you, he sees it all the time. People say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And most of the time it's more of a term, it's not really a term of endearment, it's more of a term of, I need something. Oh, I love you. You ever had anybody do that? Come up and warm up to you just because they needed something? And then when you found out and whenever the need was met and they walked away, what happens after that? Do you feel needed? Do you feel loved and needed or used? Right. We get it. We're not all stupid just because some of us just continue to give and give and give. We're not stupid. We just hope in the outside chance that love will be returned one day. The greatest travesty of all is an unrequited or unreturned love. And the greatest unreturned love is that of Jesus Christ. He loves us. He loves us with an eternal love. He loves us with an undying love. He loves us when we're unlovable. Aren't you glad? Now that's not you know, the Bible tells us that a man will say, oh, well, I'm not that bad. We'll try to justify our deeds. We'll try to justify what's going on. But there is none righteous. Your Bible says it. There is none righteous, not one. That means there's none good, not one. So the good thing about it, the good news, when Jesus says, "Be mine," that means he's willing to love you as you are. All right, you might have missed that one. We'll come back. We'll circle back around. We'll get back around there. We've asked over the past month or so, does God really love us? And I think we've come to the conclusion, and I think we've covered the topic pretty good, that God really does love us. But in 2021, the mandate has come down from God above that not it's known, it's given that he loves us. But in 2021, our call is to love the Lord. Amen. And that's what he gave us for the first of the year. And so in Mark 12 and 29, and Jesus answered him and said, the first commandment of all is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and the Lord is one. Hear, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Right? Now, when Vanessa and I were first born, when we were married, I guess we were born because the two became one and we became one flesh, right? So we quit walking individual paths and started walking one. So when we were first married, man, she was the love of my life. I didn't have any room for hardly anybody else until the first baby came. And then all of a sudden, it was like that Christmas show, you know? His heart grew four sizes that day, you know, boom, 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 you know? I thought, man, this is awesome. I didn't even know I could love that much, right? Somewhere there's still a little infant pair of Nikes that have never seen the ground, you know? Went out and bought Nikes, went out and bought IU basketball stuff, you know, jerseys, and went out and bought all that, you know? Oh, man, is she, you know, because at first, you know, back then the identification wasn't that good, and a doctor in town said she was going to be a boy. Well, imagine that. And it was till the sixth grade when I told her it was probably not proper for her to whip up on other boys. She's supposed to be gentle and soft and dainty. True story. I'm embarrassing her. And then all of a sudden, I thought, man, I can't love anymore. Man, my heart is just full. I can't love anymore. And the next thing you know, Andy comes. And it's like, wow, man, this is awesome. You know, and the Duggars hadn't come out yet. And so I thought, man, if one is good and two is awesome, and Vanessa's like, don't even go there. I'm like, but you don't understand. She goes, no, you don't understand. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'm okay. You know, and if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Right? And so just know that. If we are going to overcome in 2021, and how many of you know that 2020 had its own set of problems, its own set of circumstances, but 2021, there are going to be challenges and there are going to be things ahead of us that if we are going to be overcomers in 2021, then we have to put the Lord first. And you know the amazing thing about it is that you put the Lord first, you love the Lord with all your heart, and then He expands, just like He expanded my heart for our family and our kids. And don't even touch little Willow and Hannah soon to be here. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, the Lord just keeps, you know. And you know, somebody said, well, why, you know, Pastor, maybe you ought to lose a little weight. No, the Lord's putting a big heart in here. You got to understand. I need room for that heart and all that, you know. And then I got y'all. Anybody told you? Anybody outside your natural family said they love you today? You know you're loved. Each and every one of you are loved. We can have a conversation with each and every one of you. You know, that's something that's missing today, isn't it? That's something that you know, just come put your money in the pot and take off. You know? No. You're loved here. Amen, Pastor. You are loved. We care about you here. You're part of the family. Jesus is saying, "Be mine." You're part of the family here. You're important here. You are somebody here. Think about that for a minute. Jesus left heaven to find you. And then He graced us collectively by putting those that He found here together. Isn't that amazing? What a Savior. How awesome is that? Very, very fitting, still coming off of the song. If we're going to be overcomers, then we better obey the Lord in 2021, don't you think? Don't you think is it still true that to obey is better than sacrifice? Is that still true? Is it still true then that to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength? And I'm just baffled by the fact that the more you love God, the more room you have left to love other people. Because the love of Christ will overtake you and overshadow you. Amen. Turn with me. Oh, did they give the scriptures up there? I thought they were up there. Romans chapter 5. I'm hoping to get done with this today. And then Wednesday night, if you come back on Wednesday night, and those of you watching online, if you have Bible questions, on Wednesday night, I think Pastor and I are going to set the table back up, and if you have your Bible questions, you can get your Bible questions answered on Wednesday night. We haven't done that in a while, and when we do that, that's a very popular time, and so we want to do that. But I'm hoping to get done with this today, and if I quit him hauling around, we will. All right. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Talking about Jesus again, saying, remember, the whole theme today is Jesus saying, won't you be mine? Would you be mine? Okay? Therefore, having been justified by faith, by what? Not the car I drive? Not the job I have? Not the amount of money in the bank? We're justified by faith, right? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To be at peace with God. Amen? Through whom we also have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The grace in which we stand. You know, so not too many, what's probably about a month ago, had a person say, you know what? If you I don't understand why y'all stand when you worship. Because we're standing in grace. Jesus stood up for us, and he's still standing for us. He's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. For when we do stumble and trip, amen, and I know I'm just speaking to myself. I'm preaching to the preacher today. Sometimes we stumble and trip. Car won't start. Oh, they're stupid. You know, wait a minute. If you've got a car, you're blessed. Don't be calling that car stupid, because I know some people that's walking. I passed a lady today on the way to church, and we were thinking, I told Vanessa we had to make a stop, and I said, if she's still there when we turn around and come back toward the church, I said, we'll give her a ride wherever she is, and I don't know where she was, but I mean, she was walking right in the middle of the road. We had to kind of move over to get around her. I said, she's still there, we'll give her a ride, but she wasn't there when we got back. So, but we stand and rejoice. Do you rejoice that you're saved? Do you rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? We're called to. Sometimes it's hard, though, isn't it? Sometimes when you're facing trials and you're going through a trial, you're going through tests, it's hard to remember, you know, I'm going to rejoice, right? I love sports are cool because sometimes when you're doing two-a-days in the summer, it's kind of hard to rejoice because you haven't won the sectional and you haven't won the regional yet. You're working toward it, but when you're doing ropes and the double sled, it's kind of hard to, when you're pushing your guts out and thinking, what's it, it's worth it, you know? And you look around, there are other people on the sidelines, or they're doing their, you know, they're playing pickup ball, they're playing intramurals, and you're like, man, I don't, but you know what? When you stand there at the end and they put the championship ring on you, and they say, these are the state champs, whew, it's worth it, right? It's worth it. We're going to persevere through some stuff. Let me just tell you, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. But we have, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace. You have access to grace. Do you know his grace and his mercies are new every morning? Even if you messed up last night, they're new. They're going to be new in the morning. Even if I totally botched yesterday, his grace and his mercy is new this morning. He doesn't extend wrath. How many of you, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, how many of you ever went to bed mad and woke up with the tiger in your tank and you're still, and especially if somebody's saying, I didn't mean, you know. The Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know why that is? That's because in the morning, God's going to give you new grace, and so you need to extend grace to others. Oh, I just don't want to, that might be a little close to home for some, so I'll just leave that go. All right. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Yep. I don't want glory in tribulations, Pastor. That ain't fun. I don't want to glory when there's more month at the end than there is money. I don't want to glory in that. I don't want to glory in tribulations. That just seems totally, totally bizarre to me. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Isn't it amazing? How many of you went through something in your younger years that seemed like forever? Right? Junior English. No. How many of you went through something that seemed like forever, but after you got through it, you know, man, that wasn't so bad. Man, that wasn't, and you know what? I could go through that again. I could do that again, right? And so we understand then that it produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, I've been around some characters in my life. And a lot of them didn't have a lot of hope. But they didn't follow this plan. They didn't follow the outline that the Apostle Paul is making here. Now, hope does not disappoint. Isn't that amazing? Man, if you got hope, you're not going to be disappointed. As long as we've got hope, as long as we know that His mercies are new every morning, that's hope. As long as we know that we can count on Him for forgiveness and mercy, then and that's what one of the songs that we were singing today, His mercy and His grace. And character and hope. And hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You ever be going through a trial? You ever be going through something and all of a sudden something inside you picks up? Something inside you, like we were talking about coming out of worship, something inside you begins to cheer you up, begins to lift you up and begins to pick you up and say, you can do this. We've got this. We can get, and you don't even know. How many times have you ever been working on a problem? I do a lot of problem solving. Do a lot of analyses. And sometimes there seems like there is no answer to be found. One night I was working on a problem. It was a compound problem, and we had, we're working for a billion-dollar corporation. You know, you got to figure out these problems because there are agencies involved that are going to be looking into this. And I went home, and I'd done everything I could. I'd run the numbers. I did everything I could do. What in the world? How did this happen? What was going on? And I went, and I just about ready to go to bed. Vanessa and I were praying, and I said, all right, I'm going to go to bed. In about 10 minutes, just about the time my head hit the pillow, bang, back up, grabbed my little thing, started writing. What are you doing? Got an answer. You say, well, why didn't God give it to you earlier? Because I wasn't being still long enough. Sometimes you just got to be still and know that He's God. Amen. Sometimes you just got to, you know what, God, I'm going to have to give this to you. And there you go. And when you let go and let God, all of a sudden the answer comes. Lord, I can't get this. I can't figure this out. The math and the computations aren't working out. I don't know where it happened. I don't know what. And come to find out it was one little anomaly that everybody was looking over because it was insignificant to the program. It was insignificant to whatever the problem was. But come to find out when you plug that pull that out and put that back in, everything fell into place. Isn't that amazing? One little thing. And God only could reveal that to me when I got still before Him. Don't be afraid that when you hear the Lord begin to speak to you in dreams and in visions. How many of you going through the Bible study with us found out what Joseph said when the Lord began to reveal to Joseph through dreams? He started having dreams. You know, be careful who you reveal your dream to, because some of them may be not your brother, as he found out. But God's word always comes true. Amen? Amen? All right. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Gee, you know, Christ did not come to die for the Christians. He told some of the Pharisees, he said, those who are well don't need a physician. You know, a lot of Christians think, you know, Jesus came just for me. No, He came for the lost. Now that you're in, you're part of the family, and He loves you. But He came, He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. And then this verses I've got one of the verses I've got highlighted, Romans 5:8, and it says, "But God demonstrated His love for us, in that while we were yet," what? Sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, demonstrated his love is a big word that we Englishized and we pulled out of the Elizabethan English. But if you look at it, it says God proved his love. You ever had anybody tell you to prove it? You make a claim and it may seem outlandish, and somebody says, prove it. You want proof that God loves you? But God proved his love. He proved his own love toward us. That while we were still sinners. You see, a lot of us say, well, we were seeking God. We weren't seeking God. Come on, we were seeking everything but God. We were seeking the best car. We were seeking the best girl. We were seeking the best house, the best job, the best. We were seeking the best for it. We weren't seeking God, but God came seeking us. Aren't you glad? And still today, Jesus is calling, be mine. Right? He's calling, be mine. And you guys know that he knows the plans that he has for you. If you don't ever become his, can he give you the plans that he has for you? That would be a waste, wouldn't it? All right. So I have that verse highlighted. Verse number 9 says, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Aren't you glad? How many of you remember when you first found grace? Wasn't that awesome? I mean, some of us, you know, you think about it, it's like, I was born and raised in the church. I mean, you go back and look at my birthday in 1962, it was church day. And back then, they were a little more stringent. My grandpa was our pastor. My dad was one of his associates. And back then, they were a little more stringent. And one of the few excuses that he would give my mom, who was one of his daughters, to leave or miss church, go have me. I'm glad, you know. Cause there was a song about being born in the back of a Greyhound bus on Highway 41. I'm glad I wasn't born in the back of the Baptist church on Columbus Street. You know, anyway, wherever. I guess not a bad place to be for, but it'd been memorable for somebody, not me, but somebody, right? Oh, goodness. But he saved us when we were afar off, if we're enemies. Now, I never thought myself as an enemy of God. Did you? Did you ever think yourself as an enemy with God? You know, that's one of the things that if we are afar from God, or if we are indifferent, then we're not on the same side. Nancy Reagan had a thing that says, you know, if you don't say no, it's the same as saying yes. Remember that? Just say no to drugs. If you don't say no, it's the same. So if we don't stand up and say, hey, I'm for him, then I'm for the opposition, or I'm indifferent. And Jesus talked about it in Revelation. He said, when I come back, he goes, I would that you would be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, he said, I will spit you out. I want you to be hot. And it's good to be hot. It's good to be on fire for the Lord. How many of us, having been saved for a while, how many of us have gone through periods in our lives where, man, when we first got saved, it was like, whoo, man, this is the best thing since sliced cheese. Sliced bread? Toilet paper on the roll? Are you here? These lights are blind. Is there anybody else? No. This is the best thing. And then as we depart from that moment where Christ overtook our lives, and we go back out into the world and we begin to face the world, how many of us kind of cooled off? You know you don't have to. You know you don't have to. This is the one thing, that new car smell, it'll wear off. If you look at my old beater truck, my 1995 truck that I used for the people wanting to extend my warranty when they call and they get frustrated, my old 1995 Nissan, you look at that, the gel coat's coming off, it don't look very good, but boy, under the hood, and she's purring like a kitten. You know, I can take my big truck and I'll park it, you know, at the far end of Walmart, and inevitably people will box me in. They'll park beside me. I take that old beater up there, and I can park in the front row, and people will park three aisles away from it. It's like, I ain't getting close to that. You don't know what's going to happen there, you know? Do we tend to, as we face and we get back out into the world, are we making an impact in the world, or is the world making an impact upon us? And you know how you can tell? If I'm not as on fire for God today as I was the day that I realized and gave my heart to Him, if I'm not as on fire today as I was then the world is impacting me. But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that His mercies are new every morning? Don't miss an opportunity. Don't miss a blessing. Don't miss the grace of coming back and saying, Lord, you know, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's not all the time for people who have backslidden and walked away from God. Sometimes that's for just people that have just gone cold and indifferent and have been out in the world for so long and the world's beginning to impact them. We have a hope that's not of this world. Are you aware of that? Our hope is not in what you see around you. This world is passing away. This world is perishing. You know, going through the Bible study, you're seeing it. And you know, when Noah was saved out of the world, the Lord said he'll never destroy it again by a flood. So we don't have to worry about the oceans rising. That's God's word. We don't have to worry about it. Now there is a calamitous end coming. But aren't you glad for the believers in Christ that about that time we'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage feast of the Lamb. We'll be there with Him in glory and with those who we've been able to bring with us. Isn't that amazing? All right. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. And not only that, isn't it amazing how when you look in and start beginning to read the Scriptures and let the Scriptures unfold before you, there's all these benefits and then bonuses. And not only that, not that alone. I mean, if it was just going to heaven, that would be awesome. And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We're restored to God. We are restored. We're reconciled. The account, reconciliation is an accounting term. The account has been reconciled. The account has been put right. That is enough to cause us to have joy. Amen? And then you don't have the scripture, but John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," are you a whosoever today? Amen. "Believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Isn't that amazing? God loves us, and He's saying, "Be mine." For those of you who have received Christ as your Savior, does it still feel the same? Life challenges us, doesn't it? Life really can get in the way sometimes. We tend to lose the newness and the freshness of joy over time, don't we? But you can be restored. Restoration follows reconciliation. If you've been reconciled, then you can be restored. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Amen? And we can do that. We can walk in the newness of this new life, of this saved life. We can walk in this newness every single day. If His mercies are new every morning. And they are. Amen? Acts chapter 10. Going to begin reading in verse number 34. It said, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality.'" God shows no partiality. We show partiality, don't we? We're kind of preferential. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Whoever fears the Lord, remember we had that teaching on fear a couple of weeks ago. We fear, we greatly, we revere, we respect. Whoever fears him and works righteousness. What does it mean to work righteousness? It's to do those things that he's called us to do. One of the studies that we've went through here at the River was driven by eternity, and it's finding your calling, operating in your calling. That's who works righteousness. And the word of God, in verse number 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was also proclaimed throughout all of Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him, the same Jesus, him, God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. And not just to the disciples, not just to a little crowd, but to over 500 witnesses. It wasn't done in a back room somewhere. It wasn't done in a laboratory. It was done openly. He raised him up and in front of witnesses. He showed him openly. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. So a lot of questions. People say, are we going to eat in heaven? Jesus did. We know that there's a marriage supper getting ready to take place. We know there's going to be a banquet there. We know that are we going to eat and drink? Jesus did. And Peter's telling that we ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Man, I wonder what it's going to be like not to count carbs. I just wonder, you look at a label and you read it has so many carbs in it, and then all of a sudden, your sugar will spike, and you're like, oh my goodness. All right, that's just a personal cross, I guess. And he commanded us to preach the gospel, to preach to the people, and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. In verse number 43 and 44, I have highlighted. It says, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Whoever believes in him. Again, belief has lost its meaning a lot. We've overplayed the word belief. But to believe means to believe in him or trust in him, like you put on a life jacket when the luxury liner's going down. Like you get to the lifeboat, like you put on a parachute when they tell you that the plane's getting ready to go down. That's what it means to believe in him. 44 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And you know the amazing thing about it is, whenever we begin to talk or preach or speak the word of God, the Holy Spirit is present always. It's the only book in the world where the author is always standing beside the reader. Should the reader have a question, you can ask the author. Oh, you say, well, I don't know about that. How do I do that? You know what? You know how do you ever notice? And of course, this is Valentine's Day, so I'm gonna if you allow me a little leeway. I'm on Vanessa and I developed our own language. Right? Now, some of you guys can remember it. Some of you maybe moved apart from that a little bit. I used to see text messages in our house. Hey, Schnookums. Hey, baby boo. What? Schnoogie bear. Yo, somebody going off the deep end here. I don't know what's happening. How many of you know you make up, you have your own language? How many of you have developed a way of communicating with your significant other where sometimes you don't have to fill in all the blanks? You know, I really haven't finished a sentence in the last 28 years. I really haven't. I don't have to finish sentences. They're overrated. You know. You do that? Like in the movie Frozen, you know, it's amazing. We finish each other's sandwiches. Some of y'all need grandkids. I can see that right now. All right, okay. You make up like Andrew and I when he was playing football, hey, good job, I love you, I'm proud of you. You do the same thing with your family, don't you? You got shortcuts. We shortcut, don't we? We truncate everything. My kids really didn't know their names until they were like 10 years old, and they had to start writing them in school, and somebody, one of them thought her name was Gertrude, and the other one was Bub or he's got some others, and you know. Do you do that? Do you have pet names? Do you do that? You know what those are called? Terms of endearment. You know, terms of endearment. I don't call anybody else in the world Tato. I don't call anybody else in the world Butt. Terms of endearment. And when I say those things, they know who we're talking about. There are certain things that Vanessa and I can talk about, and she knows what we're talking about. Do you realize that when we're talking and we do that and we have that, when we talk about the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is always standing by, and He will always answer the questions that we have. All we have to do is ask Him if we're in a talking relationship with Him, if we can hear. Jesus said, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says expressly." That's why the world can't understand the Word of God. Right. Vanessa and I would talk, and we thought we were cool, but our parents had their own language too. You know, they had their own code words. We thought we were cool. You know, we would talk, and you know, especially you know, when it was time to, we thought we needed to go or needed to leave, she would say, "Well, you know, we probably ought to, and I would pick up on that, and I'd say, "Hey, listen, you ready to go?" You know, because it's not right to know for, you know, to, you don't want to be rude. But the world can't understand the Bible because it's not written like a novel. The oldest book in the Bible, you would think it would be Genesis if you're going chronologically, but the oldest book in the Bible is not Genesis. The oldest book in the Bible wasn't written by Moses. The oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job, and it's stuck way over there by Psalms. It's not a book that's written in chronological order, and I don't know why in the canon of Scripture they didn't do that, but they set everything up differently. They started in the beginning, God. That's a good place to start, isn't it? In the beginning, but that's not the oldest book in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? And so, if you try to read it with the secular mind, you try to read it with your natural understanding, you'll be spun out. A lot of people get spun out on the Word of God. What does that mean? I heard a popular TV host this week or last week saying, in the book of Revelation, man, it's just weird. It talks about dragons. It talks about flying scorpions that have heads of men. It talks about, you know what? He can't understand it because he's trying to understand it through his own mind, and you have to see it through what John saw on the Isle of Patmos in about 60 AD. You have to see what he saw. And the best he could describe it, and with the understanding and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you can understand it because the author will tell you what it means. If you're having trouble understanding the Scripture, then ask the author. Ask the author, and then come here on Wednesday nights and ask the questions, and we'll get you Bible answers. Pretty simple, right? All right, can't beat that. That's a good deal all the way around. in 45, it says, "And those of the circumcision," or Jews, "who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter." They were astonished. Do you remember when you finally got it and you finally surrendered to Jesus, that feeling that you had? Man, wasn't it astonishing? Wasn't it overwhelming? Wasn't it a happy time in your life? You're like, wow! Same thing. Going back 2,000 years ago, same thing. Because of the... they were astonished, and as many came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So it was for identification purposes. Here they were being identified as part of the body. They were being identified as the body of Christ. And Peter's saying, hey, look, the Lord's with them as well. Can we not? Can anybody forbid water? Hopefully in 2021, we're going to have some more baptizings. We had a couple last year. We want to have more. More baptizing, more time of getting into the Word and people coming to the Lord, and many, and hopefully we'll have many being baptized. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then they asked him to stay a few days. You know, when you get into the power and the presence of the Lord, you're not really willing to run right out. You want to linger there because there's something good there. There's something powerful there. There's something amazing there. When you get into a worship service, say like we had this morning, you just want to linger there because it is so awesome what God brings to the table as to what we face out there. And that'll keep you warmed up. That'll keep you fired up. What's out there will cause you to cool down. All right. Have you ever missed out on a moment of grace? Think about it. Have you ever missed out on a moment of grace? You know, God is just pouring out of it. I used to hate that when we were first married. I was going to school, working third shift, and Friday nights, man, they'd have some of the best meetings on Friday nights, but I had to work. I'm like, oh man, you know, and they didn't have live, and they didn't have the FM, and so you'd get them cassettes. You know, remember the cassettes, them crazy cassettes that would eat up your car. You pull them out of. I think we've probably sold that car with three or four cassettes wrapped up in it. And all of a sudden, you'd hear the word of God, and God would begin to. You'd say, "Oh man!" And inevitably, when you get there, they say, "Oh, you know, on Sunday morning, you get there, man, you missed a great service this weekend. You missed a great Friday night. Boy, that was awesome!" And I used to get so upset. I was like, "I can't be there." But boy, when I could, the power of God is so awesome. What we felt this morning was so soothing, so relaxing, so encouraging. You know, there's help, there's hope, there's peace, there's joy. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes, when the Spirit invades a place, or when he's invited into a place, do you realize that Jesus, you know what Jesus the Christ means? You know, it really wasn't, Christ really wasn't his name, it was his title. You know what the Christ means? The anointed one who comes with the anointing. He's anointed and he brings the anointing with him. What anointing? Do you need a healing? Do you need mercy? Do you need grace? He brings all of that. Whenever Jesus comes on the scene, he brings all of that with him. James tells it like this: "We have not because we ask not." Do you need peace in your life? We know the peace giver. Are you battling? Are you battling? Are you bound? Do you have chains or bonds or confusion in your life? We know the chain breaker. We know the way maker. All you have to do is ask. James, if James tells us, and James being the half-brother of Jesus, he said, "You ask not, you have not because you ask not." Or you ask it amiss that you might use it on your own lust. Well, we don't want to do that. But if we're going through a struggle and we're going through a trial, then we need to ask the burden bearer. Jesus said, and we're going to get down into it in a minute, he said, "Come to me, take my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you're carrying a heavy burden, rest assured it's not from God. If the yoke is pulling at you and stressing you, rest assured that's not from God. All right. I know people right now who have missed out on financial opportunities. Some who have missed out on dream jobs. I know people who have married the wrong person, missed out on the right person. I know people who have missed out on God's perfect plan for their life. So again, I ask, have you ever missed a moment of grace? Think about it. Have there been times when God is wanting you to move in a certain direction and you didn't move and you didn't move and you and then all of a sudden a moment of grace passes you by? Right? Well, how does that happen? Well, let's find out. Romans 10, chapter 4. And for time's sake, let's skip on down to verse number 13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you get in tune? How do you get whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Notice that's not just a pastor. You're all preachers in your own right. That gift that you have, that gift that you've received, you're called to share. You're preaching whether you want to believe it or not. You're preaching and whether you tell somebody about Jesus, and you're also preaching whether you don't. If you've got the greatest gift ever known to mankind and you don't share that gift, are you preaching? Who are you preaching for? Just throwing that out there, okay? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. We're bringing good things, not bad things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? In verse number 17, it says, so then, verse number 17, 10:17, it says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, well, what does that even mean, preacher? It means this. Get you a Bible app and let it just read to you. If you don't have a Bible app and you're there, then begin to read the word out loud. Let your ears begin to hear, even in your own voice. Because if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, when you've got the word of God going, your faith is going to become and it's going to grow and it's going to be established, and you're going to get bolder and braver and more aware of what's going on in your life and what's going on with the Lord, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, fear also comes by hearing. The more you doubt, the more you say, I don't know, the more you say, well, I hope so, the more you confess sin in your life, that'll bring fear. Remember, we were talking about Adam and Eve, and they weren't afraid of God until sin entered in. Pastor did a wonderful job talking about that on Wednesday night. They were not afraid of God being in God's presence until sin separated them. So if faith comes by hearing, so can fear. And we perfect love casts out fear. Amen? Let's cast that fear out. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. The sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Some people can hear and disregard. The writer says that there is none so blind as he who will not see. Likewise, there's none so deaf as he or she who will not hear. My dad used to have a saying, a colloquialism. He said, you can talk till you're blue in the face. You know, when you get blue in the face, you're getting cyanotic. It means you're losing your oxygen. It means you've talked out all your breath. And some people aren't going to hear you. I think that that's even truer today. Why would anyone forsake such a moment of grace and peace and joy? Why would they turn a deaf ear to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Can you imagine that? I mean, knowing what we have, knowing what we know, why would anyone in their rational mind, thinking rationally, why would anyone turn a deaf ear to that or a blind eye to that? Why would they reject that? Can you think about that? I mean, just for a moment with me. Why would anyone want to reject this gospel? You know, we can't afford to risk even going one day without him. You know, we need to sit up and listen to what the Lord is saying. And don't neglect the word nor the voice of God in your life today, even if he uses this preacher to speak it. Don't neglect God's word. I saw a billboard the other day, and it was like God speaking to me from the billboard because it was the word of God. How many times during our day do we miss God sightings? Think about it. You know, you ever see the little bumper sticker, you know, the little fish, you know, the Jesus fish, the ichthus, right? That's God reminding you that he's there. One of the worst days that I had in my life, I talked about it earlier, down in Indianapolis, I came out in the parking lot, and there was a guy that had a cross license plate, and I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. He's talking to us every day. Are we hearing him? Are we in a position where we can hear him, or have we allowed the world to crowd out his voice? Remember, Jesus is saying, be mine. Be mine. Hebrews 12 and 2. I'm going to read one verse here, and then I'm going to skip out. We'll pick up the last part of this on Wednesday night, and then we'll have our question and answer session. Hebrews 12 and 2. It says, therefore, the writer of Hebrews is talking. He says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Do you know what that's saying? That's saying if we don't give heed to the word of God and the preaching of the gospel, the things that we have heard, if we don't give heed to it, if we don't allow it to take root in our lives, he said, we can drift away. That's why we grow cold, because we're not heeding the word of God in our life. That's why we have trouble comprehending. That's why we have trouble just sticking to the word of God, because we haven't give heed to it. People oftentimes say, I don't know, I can't read the Bible, I can't understand it. Have you asked the author? Have you just listened? I mean, get your Bible app out and just start listening. We found a great Bible app here at the church. We're going through the Bible in a year. Found a great Bible app. It's dramatized. It makes the Bible just poof. I wish I'd had it when I was in Bible college. Dr. Wilmington was never like that. I'll just throw that out there. He was never like that. Verse number 2 says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also, bearing witness with both signs and wonders, and with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Jesus is asking today, will you be mine? Will you be mine? On the Facebook post this morning, I posted, if you saw it, got a new phone, so I don't know if it made it there or not, but I got a new phone. The greatest love letter that ever was written. Now there have been mighty letters written by mighty great men. There were letters, some of them that were written down on parchment with ink that was made from gold. Letters of honor, letters of valor, letters of victory, letters of prestige. But the world's greatest love letter was written by Jesus' own blood. The writer contends that love like this was never known. A love like this was never shown. God sent His only Son to die for the lost. And the greatest love letter that ever was written was sent from an old rugged cross. He goes on to say that they beat Him, they mocked Him, and they spat in His face. On a dark, lonely mountain, He hung there in shame and disgrace. They pierced His side and they drove nails in His hands and His feet. Yet He prayed, "Father, forgive them." The same words that He still pleads today. The greatest love letter that ever was written was sent from an old rugged cross. And today, friends, Jesus said, "Will you be mine? Will you be mine?" Father, we thank You. We praise You. Lord, we thank You for Your love. As the world over celebrates love today, Lord, we thank You for the love letter that You sent us so many years ago. And You were not content to just send it. But Lord, You signed it, You sealed it, and You delivered it. And You're still pleading today, "Let whosoever will come." Let whosoever will, as You ask today, "Will You be mine?" We love You, Jesus. We give You all the honor, all the glory. And it's in Your mighty name that we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.